Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, March the 25th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson?
Yes, 9 months to Christmas. Visit Hobby Lobby soon. They'll have Christmas trees in the next few weeks.
It won't be long now. Be here before you know it.
Yeah. My wife and daughter go there in July because they have this idea it'll keep them cooler if they see Christmas trees.
Oh, okay. Psychological. Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, I was just driving by a house last night that needed to take their Christmas lights down.
I haven't seen that. What part of town? I need to know.
Well,
maybe somebody
in Mississippi. It's not infrequent.
Okay.
I don't know about other states. Anyway, everybody's got their. I was driving by there. I said, you know, we're getting to the point of the year where do you need to just leave them up?
A lot of people do.
Because Christmas will be here before you know it, or go ahead and take them down since it's almost
April. I was more so looking for a street and an address.
Oh, well, I'll get you one. You can go by there and look at it. I didn't knock on their door and judge them or anything.
I actually know somebody
that's what I was doing.
I know somebody that several years ago, they kept meaning to take their tree down and never
did.
Their Christmas tree.
Yeah.
They kept meaning to take it down. And it got to the point where they were like, they just started decorating it for whatever holiday was coming up. Like it was a Mardi Gras tree, and then it was a 4th of July tree with flags and stuff like that. I'm not that person, but I do know this person.
Yeah, that sounds L-A-Z-Y to me. But anyway, all right. Well, thank you for listening to the program today, everybody. A lot to talk about. What's the first story going on, Chris?
Well, it's a big one, and it's being covered by all the television networks. For people not aware of this, the U.S. national security has come into question after it was revealed that somebody on President Trump's top national security team mistakenly added The Atlantic's editor-in-chief to a group chat or text message where they discussed, among other things, military strikes in Yemen. There's a lot to go over with this story. Let's begin here, because in the knee-jerk reaction to this information hitting the news yesterday, reporters were quick to ask Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth about this, and Hegseth called it a, quote, hoax, clip one.
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage.
Now, after that comment from Secretary Hegseth that this was a, quote, hoax, there were news reports that actually found the guy was mistakenly included in the group chat because he had a name similar to somebody they actually meant to include on that group chat.
So it's not technically a hoax.
No, it's not a hoax at all. Pete Hegseth, who I love there. I'm going to explain this to people like they're in third grade, okay?
I prefer fourth grade.
Okay. We have a situation where we're all familiar with group text, right?
Right.
Okay. So you have a group text, which is on another level in terms of it's in a secure location so that people can talk freely, who are in the high-level cabinet positions in the Trump administration, including President Trump, Vice President Vance, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, Tulsi Gabbard, I think, was included in this.
She was
Was she in National Intelligence?
Director of National Intelligence. Yes. Yeah.
And one or two more. Who was the other?
Cash Patel.
Yes, the FBI director.
CIA Bondi. CIA director.
These are some high-level cabinet positions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, somebody, and Chris, maybe you can tell us who did this. Somebody set this up, and then somebody, I'm assuming that same person, accidentally, which I don't know how this happens, included a reporter who is the editor of the Atlantic magazine. Is that correct?
Yes, editor-in-chief.
So if you remember back to Sesame Street, ladies and gentlemen, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got six or seven people on this, and they're discussing high-level national security issues having to do with the attacks on
Yemen.
On Houthi.
Houthi, which is a terrorist group in Yemen.
In Yemen, yeah.
All right, so now so Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, is asked about this yesterday. Is that yesterday?
Yes.
And that's what we heard him say. Why did he call it a hoax? I don't understand what he's trying to do there. Do you, Fred?
Well, when President Trump was asked about this initially, he also said, I've not heard of this. He was at another event. Reporter asked him about this, and he said, I haven't heard anything about this. So I think who broke this story was Jeffrey Goldberg, who is the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic.
Correct.
He broke the story.
Okay. Was he the one that was included?
He's the one that received the information that we're talking about. So he breaks the story. The New York Times picks it up, Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. So, rightly so, Trump people are suspicious of these sources, The Atlantic, because they're very liberal, very anti-Trump. So they were suspicious of the authenticity of this. But later in the day, it was learned, as the Trump people started to investigate, they used this chat room, which is run by a platform called Signal. And they all get this when they reach this level of security.
It's supposed to be highly secure.
It's supposed to be. And so I think what happened was they found out that Jeffrey Goldberg was telling the truth, that he was copied on this. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue is, as you're pointing out, I don't think anybody deliberate did it. Now, you may have seen news stories this morning that Mike Walls, who is one of Trump's security people, security experts, was being blamed for this. But the White House says, no, we're not going to fire him because we don't think he's responsible, which now has gone to what you were just talking about, Tim, that perhaps some lower level accidentally just happened to include. Some people are even saying Jeffrey Goldberg's initials are JG, and that person may have thought it was somebody else with those initials, but it just happened to go to Goldberg.
Well, however this happened, this is dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And this is terrible because they were talking about military actions.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I don't know whose head will roll, if any, Wesley.
Well,
this is a serious breach of national security, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I think of the times where we've all accidentally text somebody because you're thinking about them, but you're trying to communicate something. We've got some funny stories about buddy texting you, you know, by accident thinking, you know, or he was texting his wife.
Buddy Smith, our colleague.
But yeah,
he would text me
by accident.
Yeah, by accident. One time it was late, 10:30, and he was his wife was out of town or something, or he was out of town. He was good night. Sweet dreams, I love you.
Exactly.
And I got the text. I'm going like, well, I told Austin, this is kind of weird. I mean, I love Buddy too, but I don't wish him sweet dreams at 10:30.
That was a funny that I thought about.
Yeah, but you're right. We've all made mistakes on texting.
Yes.
It's true.
It's easy. Once you get going, it's easy to happen. However, when you said that this is a specific platform, I don't think of necessarily texting your dad or for your buck.
They need to explain. The best thing to do today, I know the Democrats are, their heads are spinning off their shoulder. They think they got something on Trump and the Trump administration. Yeah. No, yes, you do.
A mistake.
You got a human error is what you got. You don't have any kind of scandal going on. So I think the best, I don't know how they're handling this, but the best thing to me would do is somebody made a mistake. That person wasn't intended to be on that text. Next question. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, I mentioned that this was being covered on all the networks, and it is. And the reason is there was already a hearing scheduled involving intelligence. So this was logically the starting point for today's meeting. I do want to direct everybody to our Today's Issues Facebook page because I have posted a link to this hearing, which you can watch on demand after the show. There's also a link on a Fox News story saying Trump is not planning to fire Walz after this. And if you want to, you can read the Atlantic article, the headline being the Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans. I don't think it's a surprise that any administration has war plans or they're discussing war plans with really anything. They want to be prepared for all kinds of situations. So I don't think anybody should be worried that we're going to war tomorrow. I think a lot of administrations have plans or discuss them from time to time.
Yeah, and the gentleman's name is Mike Walz, W-A-L-Z, uh-huh. W-A-L-T-Z, who is a national security advisor for President Trump.
That's correct.
And the thinking is that there's somebody associated with him who maybe, an underlink or something that mistakenly put the editor of the Atlantic magazine in a group text, so to speak. Anyway, it's just a dumb mistake on somebody's part, but it's not any kind of scandal or international incident. But the
Democrats are trying to make it.
Well, anyway, I would just say, hey, somebody made a serious mistake here. We apologize for it. And next question. I mean, that's all you need to do on this one. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Are we in agreement, fellas, on this one?
We're in agreement.
Whatever you say, Mr. President.
Yes. Go next. Next story, Chris.
Sparks flew yesterday.
Did sparks fly, Chris?
They sure did.
Where were they flying?
They were flying in a courtroom where during a closely watched federal appeals court hearing yesterday afternoon.
Was it closely watched?
It was.
Okay.
It was.
I'm just making sure. I'm double checking you here.
Right.
Yeah.
So you had this federal judge tearing into the Trump administration's plans to mass deport illegal alien members of that Venezuelan gang. Judge Patricia Millett, a member of the bench since 2013, dominated much of the questioning and even said this, clip six.
The point here was that there were plane loads of people. I mean, it's a class action. There were plane loads of people. There were no procedures in place to notify people. Nazis got better treatment under the Alien Enemy Act than has happened here.
That phrase there at the end, Nazis got better treatment than what has happened here, has kind of gone viral, if you will. A lot of people have picked up on that since yesterday. And she's the latest judge to say, I don't like these deportation flights.
Again, this is going to have to go to the Supreme Court ultimately. So the lady we heard right there, the judge right there, she's a part of the appellate court, which is a step up from the individual judge who ruled that Trump needed to turn the planes around and bring the criminals back to the U.S., right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Obviously, we need to get to the comment this judge made, but President Trump's executive order, does that not play out until it gets to the Supreme Court, or does it have to be paused?
Well, it's not an executive order.
I'm sorry.
He does have executive orders related to deportation, but I believe he's citing a law. Mm-hmm.
The Alien Enemies Act.
1790, whatever it is.
So does the law that he's citing, is it not played out until it gets to the Supreme Court, or is it in pause until it gets to the Supreme Court?
Well, this Obama-appointed judge, James Boasberg.
He's the one that started on
this. He's the one that started this, and he has demanded that the deportation flights be held no more until he gets answers on when the initial planes took off there two Saturdays ago. He wants that. But yesterday during a hearing, the Trump administration invoked the state's secrets privilege, saying that if we start saying in court the information that we use to arrest these guys and to put them on the plane, that would jeopardize state secrets. So they are the Trump administration, while they're appealing all of this, and it will end up in the Supreme Court, I'm sure. they are fighting everything that this judge is asking for, because number one, top of their list, they say this federal judge should not have the power to tell the president of the United States that you cannot deport criminals who are in this country illegally.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Hey, another thing I looked up this morning, I was really curious just to compare administration to administration over the last four or five as it relates to judges blocking president's orders, even though I believe this is unconstitutional. And dating back to George Bush, I found that between and all the way up until President Joe Biden, between that term, those presidents, the judges in their 4 years blocked anywhere between 10 and 13 orders over their four-year period each year, and they've blocked 15 of President Trump's in the first 9 weeks.
Yes,
good point.
So they've crossed over the number. So, and I'll just go back specifically just to Joe Biden. So there was 14 during his 4 years that were blocked, and there's been 15 blocked of President Trump in 9 weeks.
Yes, exactly.
That's, I mean, very, that's at some point, good, you, yeah, you start, everybody starts seeing the what this is about, as opposed to just trying to follow the law, do the best you can. It's pretty, it's that obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. So just in a nutshell, President Trump campaigned on rounding up, if you will, criminals who are here in our country illegally. Members of gangs, violent criminals, and so forth. And he has done that through Tom Homan, the, is it ICE?
Border Czar.
The Border Czar. And he is doing a tireless job, this guy. He's just going all around the country.
Christy Noem, Pete Hexet, a couple, but he's leading the charge, but a group of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what it is, they're rounding these folks up. These are non-citizens, okay? And they're shipping them via plane to El Salvador, to back to Venezuela. I guess some went to Guantanamo Bay and other countries, or maybe Mexico and other countries. Well, he's doing this on a – President Trump and his team are doing this on a high level. I mean, they're aggressive. They're going every day. And so the – don't ask me why on this, but the liberal judges – they want to take every particular person individually and adjudicate the merits of deportation or not.
Starting with the group of illegal immigrants that were criminals, that are criminals.
Yeah, well, it's what I'm saying is these liberal judges want to give all these criminals their day in court.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we understood exactly what you just said. That's a
They wouldn't call them criminals. These no, they judges, wouldn't. They would say that, well, they're just immigrants who are here, and you're sending them other places, you know, to prison, and they haven't had their rights honored here in the U.S. So that's going to have to be worked out. Who's right and who's wrong on that? Who has final authority? I would think the Supreme Court of the United States would rule in favor of the president's authority here to deport non-citizens whom he thinks needs to be, you know, picked up. They're a danger to the country. They are here illegally, but we will see where this goes. Fred, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, the act that the Trump administration is using is the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. It has been used before.
I read that.
Yeah.
I've read that two or three times, in fact, over my
life. You got me there. I turned and looked as though, have you really?
What the Trump people have said is that, especially this group from Venezuela, has been named a terrorist group. And what Trump is saying, this Alien Enemies Act of 1798 covers groups that are a threat to this nation. Under this act, you don't have to put them in a courtroom, or the ACLU doesn't represent them in a courtroom as to whether the government has the right to ship them out of this country. This act gives the government the right. You know, somebody was asked the other day, the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, the act is still there. And somebody said, wait a minute, the Constitution's pretty old too, but we still abide by that.
Yeah.
This law has never been overturned.
And what's the law state in essence? I mean, what?
Well, basically it says if you're a threat to the you've come into this country, you are a threat to this nation, we can deport you.
Gotcha.
Do we have any audio with Stephen Miller on this? He talked about this.
Not on this particular subject.
But you could look that up. He's covered this in a, what do they call it? It wasn't a press conference, but when they meet him right outside the White House.
Scrum.
Yeah.
He covered this yesterday in one of those five-minute.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Stephen Miller. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
Jasmine,
Democrat,
back at
Texas.
It again.
Well, she continues to make headlines because she has, over several days now, issued threats or wishes that harm would be done to Elon Musk and Tesla, the business of which Elon Musk runs, one of his many businesses. So I've got a bit of audio of her talking about this, and it's going to be you're going to hear Attorney General Pam Bondi responding to it. Clip 9.
I am truly here for very selfish reasons, starting with on March 29th, it's my birthday. And all I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down. Yes.
This is domestic terrorism. And Maria, now you have this Congresswoman Crockett who is calling for attacks on Elon Musk on her birthday. Let's take him out on my birthday, she says. And yet she turns and says, oh, I'm not calling for violence. Well, she is an elected public official. And so she needs to tread very carefully because nothing will happen to Elon Musk.
In a separate bite, which we don't have to play here, Bondi went on to say that Crockett needs to apologize, quote, immediately.
And this is not the only thing she said, because we covered the Ted Cruz comments too.
Yes.
What did she say about Ted Cruz?
We have the audio of that. Don't we?
I think so. Not on this
list. No, not on this one. Okay.
Not on this list.
Well, my computer's not working, so it's not scrolling. But in the audio that I listened to this morning, just to paraphrase, and you fill in the holes here, Chris, she said we need to go out with punches, and we need to hit Ted Cruz over the head.
Yes. That's my fault for us not having the audio, because in our pre-show meeting, I said that we had the audio already in the folder. We do not. So that's my fault, not Steve's.
So, Fred, what's the criticism of Representative Jasmine Crockett?
The criticism from the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is she is using language which could be interpreted as, and Pam Bondi says she's an elected official. She's a member of Congress. She is using language that could be interpreted as encouraging people to do physical violence against Elon Musk or Ted Cruz.
Or his businesses.
Or his business. And that is happening already.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, she did say taken down. She didn't say taken out, that I heard.
Yeah.
Crockett said she wanted to see Elon Musk taken down. That could be interpreted. I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt here. That could be interpreted as, taken down, as in removed from his office at Doge. Mm. Taken out, which Bondi said she said.
Yeah.
Is different. Taken out means shot, killed, removed in a violent way.
Right.
There's two different interpretations. So I just wanted to. Ed's not here to play the part of the defending the liberals.
Right.
So it's left to me. But taken down and taken out, two different things. But nonetheless, Crockett is saying some things, Representative Crockett from Texas, that are inflammatory and are threatening, could be seen as threatening. Mm-hmm. And at the very minimum, is irresponsible of a public official.
Yeah.
That's what Pam.
It's a great point you made. I'm here.
That's why I'm here.
In my almost 25 years of doing news, some people will hear and read whatever they want to in somebody's statements. So an unhinged person may not make the difference or have the.
Well, remember Maxine Waters, the Democrat congresswoman. Remember 6 or 7 years ago,
she
made that famous or infamous. We need to get in their faces.
Yeah, but okay, I hear that. But how do you interpret? I think you are okay with punching them.
She said that about Ted Cruz.
Yes,
hit him in the head.
Yeah, no, that's.
I mean,
violent.
That's not like.
That's not. No, I mean, that's nothing ambiguous about that.
No.
She said punching.
Yes,
she said. Yeah, well. That's, unacceptable. She should be censured for that if she said that about a fellow congressman or senator. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Jenna Ellis is going to be with us. So we are going to have a lawyer on today. We're going to have, Jenna Ellis is a lawyer. We'll have her on and be charged, I'm sure, $300 an hour. We'll be back momentarily.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris here, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Joining us now is Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Great to join you all.
Thank you for being on with us. Hey, I want to ask you, what are your, we were talking about situation with the Atlantic reporter, editor being included in the text messaging for the national security team. It's not exactly a text message. It's supposed to be highly secure. I just said that was, somebody made a human error. It's a dumb mistake. But it's not anything more than that. Doesn't seem to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this is just an attempt to make the Trump administration look very incompetent. And since we haven't had, you know, as many of the posts on social media and some of the rhetoric from Trump this time that the leftist media can attach onto, it seems like they're trying to make much ado about nothing. And so when I worked in D.C. and worked for Trump and, you know, not in the administration, but on the campaign side, but even as personal counsel, I mean, there are members of Congress that use Signal. This is the messaging app Signal, and it's supposed to be more secure because it's end-to-end encryption. So it's supposed to allow for, you know, some more
right.
of these types of comments. And so this isn't anything that we should be surprised that in 2025 there is a group chat between, you know, some of these high level advisors and secretaries. So the thing for me is I wonder if this was more of a targeted infiltration where someone else on the group chat, and we don't know how many people were on there, intentionally allowed this reporter to go in, because this isn't somebody that the White House regularly, you know, feeds talking points to or collaborates with or gives stories to. If you want to have a person who would act in bad faith and put the screenshots out, this would be the reporter you go to.
Well,
so
if somebody did that, that's like career suicide.
If they
did that intentionally, I mean, and like it wouldn't be discovered. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And so I think that hopefully that is being investigated. And I think that the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, today was wise to basically minimize the story, because, of course, the left is going to blow this out of proportion. But I don't think it's really any big deal.
OK, if I were advising Democrats, which I'm not used to doing very much. You know what? I think I would do this. I would say, due to Elon Musk downsizing all the federal government, we were left with now an intern who scheduled a phone. You know what I'm saying? Scheduled a phone and maybe go with that story. I don't know. And it's because that way they could say it's because of Elon Musk cuts in government, which he can't do, by the way, by himself. But that's the way they're phrasing it.
Sure.
We had this serious breach of security here with the anyway, this will be a 24-hour news story at best, I think. If the Democrats want to make it more than that, then go for it. But I don't think people are going to say somebody made a bad mistake. And it shouldn't happen, and I doubt, hopefully it won't ever happen again. Now, what about, let's talk about more important things like Snow White.
This is more important. Thank you for getting to this topic.
Yes, so Snow White, the movie, which is not the animated movie. We're not talking about from decades and decades ago. We're talking about a movie, what do they call it, live action?
Mm-hmm. They call a live action remake.
So far... it's bombing at the box office. It may be number one, but it's not making near what Disney had intended.
Nowhere near.
What are the numbers, Chris?
It opened with $43 million, and it cost a lot more than that to make it. So just to break even on the movie.
200 something million to make, right?
They're far away from breaking even, and that's probably not going to happen, not even with merchandise sales.
Let me contribute all I can for the Snow White story.
Okay.
This is all I got for you.
Okay.
Is numbers. All right. So Snow White so far is at $43 million in ticket sales when it put $250 million into it to make it. And in comparison, in 2019, Lion King in its remake, it made almost $200 million opening weekend
in
the United States.
There you go.
And in 2017, Beauty and the Beast made $175 million in its opening week in the United States. So it's made about a fourth of what the other three.
Why is Snow White bombing?
Well, the backstory for those who aren't familiar with the controversies that this movie in particular has made, beyond the fact that we're all just tired of remakes, we like the old animated classics, we don't need to have a live-action version of this, but when this first was announced, a lot of people had a problem with the DEI overtones because Snow White literally is supposed to have Snow White skin. That's just the story. And they cast a woman of color, right, to be Snow White. So already people are saying this is kind of annoying, like the Little Mermaid remake, where it's not the girl with the red hair and all of that. They cast a black woman to be Ariel. So there's already that controversy. Then there was the controversy about the dwarves being full-sized because somehow we can't have dwarves in 2025. That's against, you know, the little people
Right, we need to put them out of work in Hollywood.
And, I mean, well, Whistle While You Work is actually their song, which is hilarious. So there's already the controversy. But then Rachel Zegler, who is the actress that plays Snow White, for one thing, just objectively, and I can say this as the woman in this setting, there is no way, looking at this movie, that you think that Rachel Zegler makes the evil queen, who's played by Gal Gadot, who is beautiful, played Wonder Woman, that she's making her jealous, right? That's the entire premise of the movie. No woman believes this. But Rachel Zegler also goes out and says that she intentionally wants to make Snow White as a character more feminist. So they don't even have the Someday My Prince Will Come, which is like the classic, you know, love song.
Right.
They make this into a power anthem. So the whole thing has woke diversity nonsense in it. So, of course, nobody, myself included, who loves the old Disney animated classics, my dogs are named after the Fox and the Hound, nobody's going to go see this. It bombs. And Rachel Zegler coming out and basically condemning princess culture as somehow, you know, we need to have this feminist power anthem. It is so overdone. And I think the culture is just so tired of this that Disney needed to scrap it, take their losses, and move on.
Exactly. I agree. And they are going to take a huge hit because those numbers from the opening weekend, they are a precursor to how the movie will do overall. And it's going to lose a chunk of money, it appears, for the Disney company. And this was all brought on themselves by trying to take a Disney animated classic. First of all, it was going to be a challenge anyway.
That's right.
The woke stuff aside, it was going to be a challenge anyway, it seemed to me, to make Snow White a modern-day well, some modern day, a remake of a live action movie. Right. But anyway, that's just seemed, they should have just left well enough alone. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing with changing the, and then you could come in, sure. With changing the an original movie like Snow White in its animated, it was.
I'm going to go in and say amen.
Classic. Amen.
I'm going to go in and say it.
Okay, you're going to say it. You know what I'm going to say already? So you are my son. Yeah. You know what I'm going to say already. So here's the deal. If you want to make a movie that includes wokeness from end to end, you go for it. All day, every day. It's a free country. You have free speech. Make your own original story.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Don't try to steal the story of Snow White and then remake the whole thing to be woke. Why would they, it seemed like to me, Jenna, Westy, go ahead, comment on what I just said.
What
amen.
You just said is exactly what the church has done in a lot of ways. They've taken it, there's been a lot of people that have, disguised as not as maybe go too far, but they've acted as if they're a Christian, or they've presented themselves as a Christian and won a lot of the people over using the Christian platform, and then they hijack it and they go woke. Mm-hmm. And then and we've seen that with Christian artists all the time. We've seen that with churches all the time. And that's exactly what, I mean, it's very similar to what they're doing here with this classic movie.
Oh. Well, that's exactly it. That's where I think this is so insidious, because they're taking already beloved characters that little girls love, that, I mean, girls like me grew up with. Snow White is the original Disney princess. And they're intentionally taking characters you already resonate with, mm-hmm. and they're turning them woke. Instead of, if you had a brand new story, I could easily reject the character and say, well, I don't like that person in that new story. They're taking something you already love, they're twisting it and perverting it, and that's how they're coming into the culture, by taking something that was good and intentionally making it woke.
Yeah. All right, so tell us what's coming up on the podcast this week.
Yes, so we're going to be talking all about the economy. We have one of my regulars, Tho Bishop, who's from the Mises Institute. He's going to be joining me for a deep dive on the economy. Those are topics that are always worthy of a deep dive. And on the show tomorrow morning, we're actually going to get an exclusive from Representative Marlon Stutzman, who's going to the White House this afternoon for a meeting. Can't really tell us about it ahead of time, but he's going to be on at 8 a.m. And then we will be getting another opinion on Snow White from my good friend Andrew Clavin from Daily Wire, who was immersed in Hollywood. He's a Christian, and I know we'll have some other incredible insights. You know, second place, of course, to Tim and Wesley, but we'll have him on and see what he has to say.
You know? All right, so join Jenna tomorrow morning, as you should every weekday morning on American Family Radio. Jenna Ellis in the morning from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, here on American Family Radio. And then Jenna's podcast, which is gaining popularity, is weekly. And you could go, Westy, what do they need to do to get the podcast?
Go to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. And there you can download the podcast there, or just listen to it live.
And sign up to get it weekly. Yep. It'll be in your inbox.
Or free off of our app as well. I mean, a lot of the streaming stuff going through is great.
AFR.net. AFR.net. You're developing a pretty big following on X, too, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, so we live stream the show, and I also post the link to the podcast there. And last week when we had Representative Jim Jordan on, that show actually went pretty viral, that interview. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think at the peak of it, was a little over 12,000 listeners just through the X platform, which is a great way to reach audiences outside of the traditional AFR family. So that's great.
All right. Jenna, thanks so much. Take care. Appreciate you being on with us.
Thanks, guys. And Todd and Copper from Fox and the Hound, say hi.
Yes, Todd and Copper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jenna's going to be talking about the economy. Do you guys know we're now importing eggs from Brazil?
I saw that.
Importing eggs from Brazil.
I'd rather not.
How do you do that exactly? I wonder how that works. That's a long way to keep eggs fresh.
FedEx. You load up a DC MD-11 with eggs.
In charge of that project right there.
Yeah. I understand.
All right, we got 1 million eggs back there, fellas.
Don't break a one.
Yeah.
Don't break a one.
Yeah, better do a soft landing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We hit any turbulence, it's going to be a mess back there.
Then we have to put egg prices up because we've lost a couple.
Yeah, we bought the whole plane full. Yeah. Sadly, a million eggs were lost today.
I just find that amazing. We don't have enough hens in this country.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think it's the bird. Isn't it the bird flu causing wreaking havoc?
Joe Biden killed a lot of them off.
Tens of millions of birds to try to right the ship, so to speak. And there's not enough egg-producing chickens right now. Supposedly.
Well, we got a bunch of lazy chickens out there. We don't have a bunch of them.
They're not of age yet to where that is, to where we can start getting their eggs.
They're unionized.
Yeah.
The chickens have unionized?
Yeah, one egg a day. Yeah. That's it.
You get 26 weeks of vacation, a lot of health insurance plans.
It ain't one thing, it's another, Dad.
But we are in that. Fred's right. He's not making that up. Type in, I'm going to make you play Ed today. Right. Type Google eggs from Brazil and see what comes up.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me or Fred?
I don't believe either one of you. We're getting
type in news story.
Chicken eggs from Brazil.
I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg from Brazil, but they're both coming in.
U.S. turns to Brazil for eggs and considers other sources during bird flu outbreak is the headline from Reuters.
Yeah, see there, Fred wasn't lying. All right, read the first paragraph from the story.
All right, the U.S. has almost doubled imports of Brazil eggs once used only for pet food and is considering relaxing regulations for eggs laid by chickens raised for meat. By President Donald Trump's administration seeks to bring down sky.
So President Trump's administration is actually pushing for this to bring in foreign eggs to our country because trying to offset the prices because of domestically we can't produce enough eggs keep the prices down. That's what's going on. So just to review, President Trump deporting people and importing eggs. Yeah. See how this works?
Swap.
So we're swapping. We're sending criminals.
You know why that is?
We're deporting them and we're importing innocent eggs.
Because we do what? Because the America first. What helps America? Yeah, bringing in eggs, lower egg prices helps America. Taking criminals off the street and sending them back home helps America.
That's what I'm talking about. anything else to add to that?
Well, I think I would bring it. I would import the chickens.
Yeah.
Why just take their eggs? That's smart. Import the chickens.
That are already laying eggs.
Yeah.
That way.
How do we do that? We just buy them like we're going to buy Greenland?
Yeah.
Just buy eggs?
Just buy the hens.
They're talking about in this article halfway down about buying Brazil.
We're going to buy Brazil.
Kidding.
Kidding.
All right, Chris.
Well,
next story, Chris.
Yeah, you better move quick on that one.
Let me say this. I am the reason we didn't have the Jasmine Crockett talking about Ted Cruz audio, but...
Who was the reason?
I was the reason we didn't have it. I thought we had it in the stack already. And so Steve Jordahl has gotten the audio for us and filed it here. This is what we were talking about before we went into the break. In addition to threatening Elon Musk and saying we must take him down, Jasmine Crockett has also had some not-so-nice things to say about Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, her fellow Texan. Clip 17.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
If Ted Cruz had said Jasmine Crockett needs to be knocked upside the head, Anderson Cooper would be
the end of his life,
the wall covers,
end of his career.
Brian Stelter would have a show again. Maddow would lose her mind.
You actually stole one,
and
from
I would
here
rightly
because I was going to recommend that just for comic sake and to make a point, like Babylon Bee does so often, I would like to see Ted Cruz with the teleprompter repeating exactly what she says and inject her name and as a comedy skit just to make a point, because we know that the other side would take that clip and they would have two options. They would have to defend him and allow him to say what he says and say, I think this is a wonderful thing, or they would have to rebuke him, one of the two. And we know they were most likely rebuke him, which then is a double standard, as we often see from the left.
Bingo. You just bingoed.
Bingoed. Yes, I want to see it. I want Ted Cruz. Now, he didn't have to be serious about it, but from a comedy skit, I like to see him read it off the teleprompter.
Let Ted Cruz say about her.
And then eject her name.
Inject her name, what she said about him.
Yes, let's go.
And it would be breaking news from CNN. Ted Cruz threatens a congresswoman.
It would be the white Ted Cruz.
Yeah, the white Ted Cruz threatens a woman of color.
I would argue that sounded more violent than what we're reading into with her comments about Elon Musk.
I agree. That's the reason I brought it up immediately in that
conversation. Listen, I personally think overall we're too hypersensitive in this country about language.
Me too. Amen.
I think if you were to ask that woman right there, what's her name, Crockett?
Yeah.
Play that again. Well, who's she talking to here?
She's talking to a couple of people interviewing her.
She's a U.S. congresswoman from Texas. Yes. Talking about her fellow Texan, Ted Cruz, the senator. Go ahead.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
Okay, I'm going to just tell you what I think. Pardon me. She's talking verbally.
Sure.
Right there, rhetorically. She's not talking about a physical act of violence. That's my interpretation.
I would agree.
Huh? But I agree with you. Had Ted Cruz said the same thing.
The left has created a hypersensitive environment in which we're playing by their rules.
Right.
They've set the rules because they criticized Trump.
But the rules only apply to the right.
Right.
If you're on the right and you say something like that, you should resign immediately. Mm-hmm. You're on the left and say something like that, oh, they're just talking hyperbole.
Right.
Or they're talking verbally. So I don't think she meant hit him over the head with a frying pan. Right there, but I think she was talking about by punch back. She
politically,
means punch back politically and rhetorically. But anyway, still, you got to be careful when you're in a position of leadership.
And also too, in this day in 2025, people are hypersensitive, and you can avoid this whole conversation if she doesn't say something like that.
That's true, but the left they get away with it. Remember when Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, a Democrat, he had that infamous press conference.
Yeah,
he said, see if you can pull that up. That's worth playing again. That's one of his.
You will pay the price.
You will pay the price. You'll never know what hits you. I mean, he's talking about Supreme Court.
You will rue the day. He said that one.
Yeah. I'm talking about overturning. Roe versus Wade. That's what he's talking about.
At some point, either right before the break or right coming back right out of
do
the break.
Do it now.
Right now is a good time. Okay, all right. I wanted to let everyone.
Breaking news. We have breaking news.
I can't do the breaking news.
Over to Wesley's news desk for breaking news.
I can't do that as well as Chris and Steve and all those guys. But we do have a summit. AFA has a summit this summer. It's an Activate Summit, Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. This summer.
What's the name of it? Biblical Bedrock?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. It's under the umbrella of our Activate curriculum, and it's June the 12th through the 14th this summer. We're looking forward to having everyone that can be there. We have a Kids Activate program that will coincide with the rest of the conference for the adults for ages 6 through 12. You can go to activate.afa.net. Mm-hmm. So that's activate.afa.net. You can find out more information. We will have keynote speakers such as Ed Vitagliano, Abe Hamilton III, Todd Herman, Frank Turek, Alex McFarland. We will also have panel discussions with Jenna Ellis, as you heard earlier, MD Perkins, Sandy Rios, and Tina Griffin. These are some of our breakout sessions. And we will cover topics such as the knowledge of why you can trust the Bible, a renewed desire of a love for God's word, a clear understanding of what it means to contend as a believer in difficult and hostile cultures. And so,
is this very similar to our Marriage, Family, and Life conference we used to have?
In many ways, this is a replacement for our Marriage, Family, and Life conference. It's a little bit, it's slightly different in its style. But yes, very similar.
It has a kids track.
It has a kids track to go alongside of it, and so we're really looking forward to it. It's this summer, June 12th through the 14th. We're limited in our seating because we've signed a contract, and so we're about two-thirds full, and we would like to go in and fill it up. So you can go to activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net, and we're looking at children 5 and under are free.
Where is it going to be?
It'll be held here in Tupelo, Mississippi, in the hometown of our headquarters at our Cadence Bank Conference Center here in town. And children 5 and under are free. The cost for adults and ages 6 through 12 are on our website. I'll give them to you real quick. It's for 13 and up. It's $75 for a 2.5-day conference. And if it's 6 to 12 years old, it's $50 for a 2.5-day conference.
Bring your own eggs.
Bring your own eggs. That's right. Yes.
And what's the website to read all about it?
That's activate.afa.net. Activate.afa.net. So looking forward to that.
We have time to play Chuck Schumer? No. Go.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Okay, well, he went on to say a lot more than that, but that's Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democrat Majority Leader, saying you will reap the price. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reap the whirlwind.
Rip the whirlwind. He's threatening them. He went on to threaten them worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
And these are sitting Supreme Court justices. The only way that can be interpreted, really, is, I mean, it can be easily interpreted as we will burn your house down.
Sure.
Because you can't vote a Supreme Court justice off the bench. I mean, I guess you could impeach them, but what I'm saying is
that they're low. Yeah.
How are they going to reap the whirlwind?
Right.
But anyway, that's what a lot of Democrats do, this kind of stuff, and then they want to claim their right is, you know, promoting violence.
Whatever the violence is, you can fill in the blank, but it's certainly a threat.
Yeah.
That's non-negotiable.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.